The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Now, my next guest has a new documentary coming out tomorrow evening on T.G. Cahir. Sheila Shoga has met with couples who have experienced miscarriage as well as experts in the field in an effort to talk openly about an issue that affects so many women and couples. Sheila joins me now. Sheila, it's good to talk to you and thanks for taking the time for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder. What prompted you to make this documentary?
My own personal experience, I suppose. I had no clue what it was like to go through miscarriage until it happened to me. And once it did, I found the silence, the cultural silence that surrounds it, I found it deafening. I suppose I opened up to friends and family, and then I took a step further and I decided to talk about it publicly on my Instagram platform. And when I did, I got this absolute avalanche of messages from not just from women, but from men as well, primarily women, though, saying, you know, thank you for opening up. A lot of them shared their own experience of miscarriage. And I suppose I felt less alone having gone through it. I felt like, OK, it hasn't just happened to me, because I think when it happens to you at the time, you can only just process your own experience. But I think it is healthy to have normal conversation around something that impacts so many people. Mm. And as you said there, you know, it is common. Unfortunately, nobody wants it, but it is a truth of life that it is a common thing that happens to people. And we need to normalize the conversation around it. So that's why, I suppose, there are many reasons why we decided to do this documentary. But I worked with a very small team, production company, where Tyrone Productions made it for T.G. Cahir. And we worked really hard on trying to include as many perspectives as we could within the 1 hour documentary. It was a big ask, and you know, there'll still be elements that we weren't able to include, but I think we've done as best we could, especially filming during the weirdness of COVID.
Yeah.
And it has been challenging, but it's been very rewarding as well as a project to work on.
Given you've spoken to all of these people and all of these experts, why do you think it is still something that isn't as openly talked about as it should be? Given we are all, like, as couples, when you go into it, you are all aware of the fact that, you know, miscarriage is a possibility, and you're told, look, this happens in, you know, X percentage of cases and X percentage of people will experience it, and you know it could happen. And yet then when it does happen, as you said, all too often, it's not mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the culture of silence that existed in Ireland for many generations. I mean, we can go back to our, you know, way further back than our own parents' generation. And it's probably a bigger conversation in terms of the silencing of people, and particularly women, in terms of speaking about women's issues. And it just wasn't spoken about. Women didn't talk about their reproductive system. We didn't talk about sex, therefore we didn't talk about pregnancy, and we certainly didn't talk about miscarriage. And that stuff has been carried on down through the generations. It's been layered with, you know, an element of taboo. It's you know, shame. Huge amount of it is shrouded in shame. You know, when it happens to you, you feel like you did something wrong.
Did you feel that
woman,
way?
I think, yeah, absolutely I did. Absolutely I did. And I think it's quite common. I have yet to meet a woman that has said otherwise. I mean, maybe, perhaps there are, but, and I hope there are. I certainly, when it happened to me the second time, I tried to manage my negative feelings around it. Whenever I was feeling that kind of blame and shame creeping in, I was quicker to stop that narrative in my head, because I knew how destructive it was. But the first time, yeah, the moment I was told, effectively what happened to me was I went into the hospital for a scan, and both times I found out that I had miscarried, but my body was effectively still thinking it was pregnant. I had a missed miscarriage, a term I had never even heard of before. So it's where a baby stops growing, but you're still producing pregnancy hormones. It's a confusing and strange one, but it does happen. And yeah, the first time it happened, I went in for an early scan, and I was told there was no heartbeat. There was, you know, baby had stopped growing. And I instantly went to, what did I do wrong? You know, replaying, what did I eat? Was I drinking too much coffee? What was it? What was it that I did?
Mm.
And I just think, you know, it's, we have to unlearn a lot of conditioned thinking that has been ingrained in us that we don't even realize. And it, I mean, that goes across the board in so many different facets of life. But this is one of those things where I think there's a lot of unlearning that needs to happen, particularly in Ireland.
Is one of those conditioned thinkings that we need to unlearn that it's worse when it happens later, or that it's somehow inconsequential if it happens, you know, up to a certain point, say 12 weeks, that we kind of, as a society, we kind of think, oh, well, sure, look, that can happen. But then it's this awful tragedy maybe when it happens much later. I'm sure, look, it's obviously awful for people for whom it happens much later. It's obviously awful, though. It must be awful for people, whether it happens in week 4 or week 14 or 24.
Yeah, I get you completely. And I hear what you're saying. I've certainly met, I met a woman actually who had experienced different types of miscarriage, where she had a first trimester loss and then she actually had a second trimester loss. And her take on it, bizarrely, was that she found it easier to grieve the baby that she lost in the second trimester because there was an acceptance, well, you know, you were further along, so you're almost given permission to grieve.
Yes.
Whereas she said she struggled more with that early loss because of the fact that of the silence, because she didn't feel maybe as comfortable to open up and talk about it to people. And also it was like, it was so early. Sure, was you were barely pregnant, was the kind of attitude. And she found that more challenging. So I think, look, as any woman will tell you, and look, anyone with kids knows this, male or female, this is an important point to make as well. Miscarriage is not a women's issue. This affects all of us. This affects men just as much as it does women. But I do know, as a woman, the second you pee in that stick and you see you're pregnant, you imagine your future. And it, regardless of whether you miscarry in the first few weeks or I would imagine later on, I mean, obviously it's complicated and I'm not trying to simplify things, but I think that loss is loss and it depends on how you grieve and how it impacts you. But I do think it's important to give people space, because certainly when it happened the first time, I'm quite a pragmatic person by nature. And I was kind of, look, I'm very sad. This is not what I wanted, but I believe everything happens for a reason and nature has its way and I'm going to be okay. And I went straight back to work and I was like business as usual. And then it wasn't until like a few months later that I had a form of a breakdown because I hadn't dealt with it. And it came out in frustration and anger and sadness. And I was like, I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm in awful form. I'm biting the head off everyone. And it was delayed grief that I learned later on when I started to look at it. So I think we need to normalize being okay with not being okay. And that, you know, it's healthy to talk about it. You're not always going to be sad, but it's important to acknowledge if you are and not hide it, dumb it down and pretend, Ara, I have no reason to be like that because it was so early. You have every reason to be. If it's upsetting and it's hurt you, you have every reason to honour that feeling.
Well, one of the things we're told as well is, look, don't tell anyone that you're pregnant or might be pregnant in the first, you know, 12 weeks or so, because that's when things, you know, can and do go wrong for people. And I understand the logic to it. But at the same time, would it help to lift the attitude or change that attitude of inconsequentialism when it comes to a miscarriage in the first trimester if we actually told people earlier on?
Yeah, I certainly think it would. I'm a big believer. I mean, I suppose I'm a talker. I like to share. So, you know, I didn't wait the 12 weeks on any of my pregnancies to tell people closest to me that I was pregnant. Because I kind of felt like regardless of the outcome, they were going to know anyway. I knew firsthand when I went through the first miscarriage that it was unhealthy to keep it in. That didn't serve me well.
And apologies to cut across you, because as I'm just thinking about it, like the unspoken message is, don't tell anyone for the first 12 weeks, because then if something does go wrong, you won't have to tell them that you've had a miscarriage. You can just keep it quiet. Implication.
Absolutely it is. And also it's back to a time when, you know, in our parents' generation, they didn't have all the wonderful technology that we have available to us now, like scans and all the rest. So maybe you didn't realize you were pregnant until you reached the milestone maybe of the 3 months where you start to show. Whereas now you can go in for a scan at 7-8 weeks. Granted, you have to pay money for it. And I accept that that's not something that everybody has access to. But you can do that if you want. And from what I've learned speaking to experts, that's as good as almost getting to your you know, your 12-week milestone, if all is looking good and they can see what they need to see. It's not always guaranteed, and I'm proof of that. Unfortunately, the second miscarriage I went through, I went in at 7 weeks, I saw a heartbeat, all looked fine, all looked normal. And then 2 weeks later, you know, it all came crumbling down again. Same thing again, baby had stopped growing. So it's not a guarantee, but nonetheless, it's a good indicator. And in most situations, if you reach those milestones and all looks good at the 7-8 week mark, you're, you know, it looks good for the rest of your pregnancy. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that whole thing of, yeah, don't say it because what if? And then at least you don't have to go and tell people. And while that might suit certain people, and I suppose with miscarriage, it's not a one size fits all. Yeah. And I know the people listening will struggle to even listen to me. I may be hugely triggering for some people. Some people might find me irritating, and I'm fully accepting of that. Everybody has to honor their own process with it. Some people don't want to talk about it, and I feel that they should be 100% entitled to not talk about it if they want. But I do think culturally, if we could see a shift, a full shift, into at least give people the option that it's okay, rather than this still the residue of let's not talk about it. And then those of us who do speak publicly are seen as, you know, as I suppose not the norm. I'm not really seen as the norm, and I'd like to be more of the norm for people. And that if you choose to speak about it publicly, great. And if you don't, absolutely don't. You don't have to share it with everyone, but at least normalize it.
Given how personal then the story and all of this is for you, I mean, the documentary and the making of it, did you enjoy it? Or you mentioned, you know, delayed grieving. Was this part of the healing process?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There were days I came home and I was absolutely wiped. And I'd come home and I'd have a bit of a cry with my partner, and express it was taking a lot out of me. There were other days I came home and, you know, I was feeling, most days, I mean, even if I came home and I was crying and feeling drained, I was still extremely proud of what we were doing collectively as a group making this program. But there's no doubt about it. It was challenging to make, because I suppose no more than when you're speaking to somebody who's speaking about a very emotional topic, you connect with them, you feel it with them. And but it did allow me to process my own grief. I certainly realized at the beginning of it that I hadn't processed it at all, actually. But through meeting people and having conversation and hearing other people's perspectives and also getting all the expert advice that we showcase in the documentary, it really did help me to understand it a bit better.
Yeah, well, listen, it airs, the documentary airs tomorrow night on TG Cahir on Wednesday night. Sheila, a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks a million for taking the time.
Thanks, Kieran.
Yeah, Sheila Shoiga there, who's the presenter of that documentary. Like I said, TG Cahir tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it.